就哈利路亚，哈利路亚。Let's open our Bibles. Okay.
Our Father, we receive insight and revelation that is found in your word. As we look, we behold Christ as he sees us in himself. He's glorified and we are edified in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. So, quickly, we are discussing on the topic pneumaticals, right?
Okay, as we discuss on this, tomorrow we'll start on another topic titled Walking in Salvation. Walking in Salvation. We'll look at that tomorrow. Talk tomorrow. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
So, something that is key you need to observe is as you study, make sure whenever you want to study, do a study, you must study it together. Are you hearing me? Yeah, we are studying. If you are doing a study on pneumatic course, you must do it together with what was taught around that period. Do you understand? Okay. And that is why I would have to call what we'll be treating tomorrow. Now we'll all know. You know, as you're listening to the tape beyond today, you know that okay, this was around the same period we taught on this topic, so you have to listen to it. Hallelujah. So let's go to Matthew 28. That's where we're studying from. That's where we're starting our study from, right? And that's where we pick it up from. Matthew 28, from verse 18. Hallelujah. From verse 18, he says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. So, last week, this week, right? On Sunday. Sunday is this week now. Okay, we said some things about, we started on the line of heaven and earth, right? I would say heaven and earth will not refer to, or heaven will not refer to the skies, right? That Moses will use the skies as what? A prefiguring, right? Right? Okay, glory to God. So, we said, heaven and earth will imply the new creation. Is that what we agreed last or Sunday? Was that what we saw? Not what we agreed, was that what we saw?
Yes.
Okay, heaven and earth will imply the new creation, right? And when he now says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, if heaven and earth is the new creation, that means the authority of Christ is vested in the new creation, right? So, in the new creation is where you find Christ's authority. Because all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Do you understand? So the authority of Christ is in the new creation. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So can we now say the disciple? Let me now say go make disciples. Can we now say that the disciples is or the new creation or the disciple is the man or is the reality of heaven and earth? Can we say that the reality of heaven and earth is the new creation? Can we say that?
Yes.
Okay, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. So, the reality of heaven and earth will be God and man united, right? Remember I said not man. God and man united. The new birth. Okay, so the new creation will be taught on the reality of this union. So, what is it? Go. I mean, teaching them to observe. So, what they will be taught will be what? The new creation, right? They'll be taught this reality of heaven and earth, right? So, that's why I said, remember last week we went through John 14, right? And we now discover that actually, what Jesus was communicating in verse 20 when he said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, he was not specific. In answer,
Lo, I am with you always. So, meaning what he has commanded them will be the lo, I am with you always. You understand? Which implies I am in you always, right? Right? So we find it in what he said to them, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what they will be taught, since it is now lo, I am with you always, right? Will that mean that what the new creation or what the disciples will be taught will be the union, which is the indwelling of the Spirit, right? Right? You know it's a union. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 6:17. Say to be joined to with the Lord is what? One Spirit. Right? Hallelujah. It's a union. We are joined with the Lord. Right? Okay. Okay. So also we said something. I'm just to refresh our memories as we progress to understand. So we said the indwelling of the Spirit is the life received at the new birth. Is that true? Was that what we said? We said Jesus will use life and spirit interchangeably, right? Yes. So that indwelling of the Spirit is life we've received, right? Right? Okay, now let's look at that. So let's proceed into what we have for today. So just a little short that would, for those of us who do not go through our notes before coming to meeting, is when I'm talking, you're not scrolling back. You have to read your notes before coming for meetings. I am at least go over your notes again. Before you come for any meeting, and it's a series, go over what you were taught. Okay. So the word spirit is from the Greek word pneuma. The word spirit is from the Greek word pneuma. So pneuma is used 384 times in New Testament Greek. 384 times pneuma. That word pneuma is used 384 times in the New Testament Greek. It's used from that 384 times, it's used 149 times by Paul in his epistles. It's used 149 times by Paul in his epistles. Out of that 149 times, Paul used it 58 times when he wrote to the church at Corinth, and 38 times when he wrote to the church in Rome. Paul uses it 149 times. Around that 149 times, he used it 58 times to the church at Corinth. That's 8 times to the church at Rome. Peter will use the word pneuma 10 times. John will use it 36 times. John will use it 36 times in his epistles, not the four gospel in the epistles. I mean, not in his gospel. In the epistles, which includes Revelation, James will use it just twice. The writer of the Hebrews will use it 12 times. 12 times. So you see, it's as if Paul uses it the highest number of times. So we're going to look at something. That's going to form something for us as we study now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word, that's the word pneuma, right? Okay, let's look at another word. You know, we're discussing on what pneumaticals, right? So let's look at the word spirituals. The word spirituals is from the Greek word pneumaticals, P-N-E-U-T. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Pneumaticals. Pneumaticals. It is the word pneumaticals is a compound word of pneuma and tikos. Pneuma and tikos. Now, the word pneuma is the word that is used for wind, breath. The word used for wind. John 3:8, the wind blows where it is still. Wind. The word used for air. Is the word also used for
When you talk about air, it implies active air. Now, it's also a word used for spirit. You understand me? So, it's used the same way, no matter the kind of spirit. Whether, you understand me? It's used for spirit. Okay. Now, we now have another word, tikos. The word tikos is what the word that implies things. 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 So, when you hear the word pneumatikos, it implies things of the spirit. Things of and in the spirit. Things of and in the spirit. Now, the word pneumatikos in New Testament Greek is used 26 times. In New Testament Greek, the word pneumatikos is used 26 times. Paul, out of the 26 times, Paul used that word pneumatikos 24 times. Is it Paul? He used Pneuma 149. He used spirituals 24 times out of the 26 times. Peter used this only twice. So, as a good Bible student, what would be your solution? We can say, to have an extensive and exhaustive study on the word spirituals, Paul's epistles, as regards on what he said concerning spirituals, will play a vital role. You want to have an exhaustive study on the words pneuma or pneumaticals. You have to stay with Paul for a long while. You understand? You have to understand it from Paul because he uses that word more than any other person. So you will now get to know what I mean. So you will now remember what the other apostle will write will now be to corroborate. Do you understand? Because Paul would break it down. Do you understand? Will break it down for us. Do you understand? So Paul will break it down for us. So what Paul will write will not. You will also find the other apostles write about it, but Paul will be much more elaborate. Do you understand? Paul will break it down and help us see it well. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Peter will call. Listen, Peter will describe the utterance gift. Will describe utterance as prophesying. Do you understand me? Do you understand? You will call everything, you will just call it prophesying. But no, Paul will not break all transfer us. He will not tell us to have tongues, interpretation. Do you understand? Because, do you understand? From Acts 2, what Peter showed us is that when he was to explain, he said, he quoted from Joel and he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. But until we saw Paul explaining to us in 1 Corinthians 14 what happened in Acts 2, we saw that they actually spoke in tongues, they actually interpreted, and Paul now waved that tongues and interpretation as prophecy. Do you understand? So Paul broke it down for us. Do you understand that? So you see, we have to rely on Paul and then collaborate with other apostles. Do you understand? Aha. Very important. Okay, I'm not sleeping. Okay. So, very important. Let's look at. remember we said last week, because I'm picking out some very vital points. We said last week that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is Christ in His resurrection, right? Was that what we said on Sunday? That is Christ in His resurrection. That the Spirit cannot be explained outside Christ, right? So don't take that as it. Make sure you have that well. Do you understand me? You cannot explain pneuma. You cannot explain the pneuma outside the Christos. Do you understand me? You cannot explain the pneuma outside the Christos. If you try to explain the Spirit outside Christ, you would
be walking in error.
Do you know that? And I gave us some examples, right?
You'll be walking in error.
Just wake up and say, good morning, will be good.
My darling spirit, are you fine?
Do you know that? You know, some people just say what's not. Do you know that? But when you see it as Christ in his resurrection, you see it as what Peter will call it, the postponed. Do you know that? The postponed, the appearing. So you remember that is to appear from the to appear from somewhere. That is when where did they appear from? For that is the resurrection. Do you understand? So you must see the spirit. You must see the spirit as his appearing. Do you understand? Where did they appear? In our hearts. That is the indwelling. Do you understand? Very important. Very, very important. So that is the indwelling. So you must see it as. You must explain it in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's go back. So we're talking about pneumaticals, right? So now that word pneumaticals, it means things in the spirit. So you know, as and the word pneumaticals is
what do you call it? Okay.
Is the word pneumaticals is an adjective. Why am I going there? No. It's not now.
Hallelujah.
So that word pneumaticals. Whenever you find the word pneumaticals, I've always said this to us, that within that context of usage, what will you find? You will find the word spirit used, because what pneumaticals means, it implies things of the spirit. So the writer, whoever is talking, must have explained what the spirit is. Then as an or must have said something along that line concerning the spirit. So when you now write spirituals, you will now know, oh, this is what it's talking about. Do you understand? We're going to see some of that this week into next week. Do you understand? We're going to see some of that this week into next week. So when that word pneumaticals is within the surrounding context, you will find explanations concerning the spirit. Because the word has to do with the spirit. Do you understand me? The word has to do with the spirit. So take note. We said the spirit is what Christ in the resurrection. Right? And we found out how we saw last week that Christ, how Christ explained the spirit as what we receive in the new birth. Hallelujah. As what we receive in the new birth. Not those in hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's see how Paul will explain the spirit in his epistles. Look at how Paul will explain the word spirit in his epistles. Are you with me? So let's pray. Let's look at how he does that in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Okay, it says what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Nay, certainly not. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ are baptized, we are baptized into his death? Therefore we buried with him through baptism unto death or into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 3. He said, or do you not know as many of you who were baptized into Christ? They baptized into his death. Paul brings in that word baptized. That is the Greek word. That is the word that Paul baptized on the Greek word baptizo. Baptizo. Baptizo.
I remember when I was to do water baptism, that the person taking us baptism to our plan said, you know, Jesus, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, as many of us have been baptized into Christ. So to be baptized into Christ is that water baptism. Ah!
Sweetie.
I just said, no, sir. This is not water baptism. He said, it's water baptism. We argue. We argued. Those are years back. Hallelujah. It says no water baptism. It says water baptism. It says, no, you don't. Let's just continue. So that word baptizo, it implies to be identified or immersed into. It's what I implies to be identified or immersed into. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that at the new birth, or what Paul said is that the new birth is our unity with Christ.
Tell something.
At the new birth, we are identified in Christ. So if verse 4 now says that we might walk in newness of life. So just understand that we are to walk in newness of life that we have received. So Paul here makes us see that, hey, the new birth is our identification with Christ.
Do you understand that?
So we're going to see, you know, Paul has shown us, he has shown us this. So let's get to chapter 8 and let's see what he says again. Chapter 8. Romans 8. He says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus, will that be chapter 6, verse 3?
Yes.
Baptized into Christ,
yeah.
Unity, right?
Yeah.
Aha. Do you understand me? So, therefore, there's now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. So that is the new birth, right? Okay. He says, verse 2, say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do when I was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Hallelujah.
Okay, he says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at what Paul is doing. Paul is setting a distinction. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, quickly, before you begin to think, am I of the flesh? Am I of this? Remember, he has said, there's therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Remember that when you hear that, John 3, 16, 17, 18 comes to mind. Right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. Right? He said, God did not send his Son to the world to condemn the world. Do you understand? So, remember in verse 13, I said, he who does not believe stands condemned already. So, when he said there's therefore now no condemnation, he then means, what does that tell you? John 3:16 is fulfilled. Do you understand? So, that condemnation will be the perishing. Do you understand? That is the perish, that is judgment on unbelief. Do you understand? So that's a level of condemnation. Then Paul now started talking about, now before your mind now start wondering, am I the carnal or whatever? Do you understand? He now set it straight to you. Because he said to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, to be carnal minded is enmity with God. Do you understand? He said he's not subject to the law of God. Do you get what Paul is trying to say? So before you begin to think, spiritually minded, does it mean I have to? Do you understand? It sets it straight for you in verse 9. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 now says, but you are not in the flesh. Do you get that?
Yeah.
But in the Spirit. Now, I don't like reading the next sentence as if. Do you understand me? Because that is that word if, they actually mean what because, right? So, it now says,
But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you understand me? He says it straight. He said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you understand? So he says it straight to you. That you are in the spirit. Why? Because of what? Okay, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now that Spirit of God dwelling in you is that Romans 6 verse 3 to be immersed into Christ. Do you understand me? That is the no condemnation, right? That is the Spirit. So Paul is bringing something out here for you, that you are in the Spirit because the Spirit dwells in you. This is who you are by default in Christ. Do you understand me? By default you are spiritual. So do you understand that by default, once a man is born again, he's spiritual. There is no, so when spiritual is explained outside Christ, he's not explained like, as a child of God, you need to be doing like this. No. You need to change your mood to become spiritual. That is teaching spirituals outside Christ. Even when the church at Corinth were working as babes, Paul said, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, meaning this is who you are by default. But I can't talk to you that way. So meaning, no matter how your nature is spiritual. Do you understand? You need to get that. Because remember I said, to explain the spirit outside the Christos, you just be having fabu. You know, fabu. You'll be having things. You see, that head you have, he's not making you spiritual, bro. You're not spiritual to me. He's not making you can see there is a realm you have to always climb into at every second. But no, Paul had just said this to you. He said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the indwelling of the Spirit at the new birth is what you've been spiritual. Do you get how Paul is explaining this? Okay, let's go ahead. Okay? So when he says you are not in the flesh, we're not in the flesh, look at what Paul will say. Now, we want to collaborate because Paul has said something in this light before. Look at chapter 6 of that same Romans. Let's go back to chapter 6. Look at verses 10 into 11. Or from verse 6 to 10. Look at from verse 6 to 10. He said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. When was our old man crucified? In verse 4. Right? Right? We were buried with him in baptism. Do you understand me? We were identified with him. So our old man was crucified. Right? Now, what would that old man be? We will get to see that. The old man will be the flesh. Do you understand me? Now, do you understand me? The old man is the flesh and his desires. I need you to get this. I need you to follow me very well. You know, like this is the time where you don't just write, so you'll be looking at what we are looking at. You are looking at the scripture. That's why we are here. Do you understand me? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
We are for PG. Is it good for PG?
We are getting it.
We protect.
We give us a son.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
No, that can make you be awake. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at it again. Now, I want you to listen here. Just pay attention. In verse 6, chapter 6, verse 6, he said, knowing this, that our old man, now we said the old man will be the flesh and all his desires. Do you know something? Take note of something. So this is who a believer is by default. So let's say you are going for a follow-up. You must allow the disciple. You must allow the one you are discipling know. Do you understand? Your old man is crucified. Do you understand? It is not whether you think it or not. No. This is what has happened to you by default. Do you understand? Okay. So he said, our old man is crucified with him. that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Who is it that has died?
The old man.
Are you following me? Okay. Now he says, verse 9, he says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Right?
Yeah.
The old man, right?
Yeah.
Verse 10, for the death he died to sin once for all, that the life he lives to God. Verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So Paul does something here to us. Paul makes us see the fact that, hey, we are not in the flesh, because the flesh is crucified in chapter 8, verse 9. Do you understand me? But in the spirit. Do you understand me? So why would he say it like that in chapter 8? Because he has explained it in chapter 6. Do you understand that? He has explained it in chapter 6. So in chapter 8, he cannot say it because we are in the spirit. Right? I mean, because of the indwelling of the spirit, we are what? In the spirit and not in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Look at verses 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Do you understand me? Why? Because you are dead to it. Do you understand me? Because you are what? You are dead to it. Glory to God.
Amen.
So back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. We're in chapter 8, verse 9 now. So, Paul said to be born again to be born again, Paul said you are in the spirit, because the spirit of God dwells in you, right? So, to be born again is to be in the spirit. That's how. So someone comes and asks you, sir, how can I be in the spirit to be born again? Are you born again to be in the spirit? That was that. It's that very simple. In the spirit. That's what Paul makes us see here. So, the Spirit of Christ is what we receive at the new birth. That is what Paul makes us see. Look at verse 10. He then gets to verse 10 of Romans 8 and says, and if Christ is in you, he has said, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. When he said the body is dead, which body is he referring to?
The old man. He's not referring to your physical body that you have. He said, the old man, the old nature. Do you understand? Aha. That word. Body is the word soma. We'll look at that word body as we progress in the coming weeks. But when we write the word soma, it means that word soma is used for a form, is used for. Let me not get into it. Let's not, because it's not part of what we have to talk about now. You understand me? But we'll look at it in the course of this teaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay, so that word body there is what? Romans 6, right?
Yeah.
Right? So if Christ being you, the body is dead because of sin, right? The spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So don't lose sight of this. Don't lose sight of this. Okay. Verse 11. For if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Don't use this verse for healing. It's not a verse for healing. You understand? It's not a verse for healing. He said, if that spirit of resurrection then lives in you, he does live in us. Say he would give life to your mortal body. So what he's telling you that the same experience, look at verse 11. He said the spirit is life. Because of righteousness. So the same experience we have in our spirit. Do you understand me? The same experience we'll have in our mortal body. So he speaks about what? The redemption of the body. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me? Speak about the redemption of the body. He said the spirit is, he uses a word. He said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will. Do you understand me? So he talks about what will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you read down to from verse 18, begins to talk about that purchase, that what will happen to the mortal body. Do you understand me? The revelation, what happened to the redemption of the mortal bodies, right? He began to talk about it from verse 18. But let's go ahead. Then verse 12, what I'm going to, verse 12 now says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Do you understand me? Now that word to live according to the flesh, it means we do not live according to the flesh. We do not live after the flesh. Do you understand? That word to live is the Greek word zao. Zao, Z-A-O. It implies to exist. So we don't live, we don't exist according to the flesh. Verse 13. He now says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit. Now, there are some words that are italicized. So I'm reading it the way. But let me read the way you have it. Say, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Right? You know, if you put it like that, it looks as if you are not the one using the spirit to put to them. No, that's not what Paul is communicating here. Look at what Paul is saying. Because that word if by is italicized, and the word you too is italicized. Do you understand me? So what it means is what Paul is writing here, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But do you see that? That word but is the same word with because. Because the spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you understand? Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very, very important. So when he says in that verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But the spirit put to death the deed. That word deed is the word praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. Praxis. Is the word that implies functions. Functions. You'll find that word in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 4. Verse 4 of chapter 12. It says, for as the body has many members. For as we have many members in one body. So all the members do not have the same function. Do you understand me? The word for function, deeds, function. So you put to death, or it talks about putting to death the deed, the function of the body. What is the function of the body? What is the body here? The old man. Right? Right? The old man. So he says, putting to death the deed, the function, the deeds of the body will be the lust of the flesh. Do you understand me? Do you understand me? The lust of the old man. Are you following that? Okay. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what Paul is saying is that the spirit puts to death the deed of the deed of the body of sin. Do you understand me? It puts to death the function of the body of sin. The function. The deeds of sin. Now verse 14 now says, for as many Now, when you hear verse many,
it refers to all, right? You can put it there,
for all as are led by the Spirit of God. For all as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You use the word led.
That is the word ago, which implies to carry. Ago, A-G-U, it implies to carry or to lead. Or to lead.
Now it says, as many as are, or as are, you say what, all that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
What is Paul saying?
He's talking about, now that word ago also means to bring forth,
to carry, to lead, to bring forth.
Now Paul is discussing the new birth. And he says, as many as are led, as are brought forth by the Spirit of God, are the sons of God. Did you understand that? So it's not as many as are following, not something to say, as many as are listening to the Spirit. Remember that teaching, that era, where he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, are the heels.
The heels are those who are led by the Spirit. The heels.
You are no longer, if you are not having of heels, today, in our day, if you are not having of heels, not the explanation. If you say it today to me, I'll tell you are correct. Because as many as are led, so it's the heels that are led. Many it is the sons that are led. But what you're not telling me is the fact that the heels and the appeals. There's no anybody that is led. It is the heels that are led. If not, you know, are you gonna say there's one funny thing that we should say there? Say if it is God that is leading everybody, then that nonsense are just nonsense. Don't get caught up in that anymore.
Hallelujah.
I left that a whole long time ago.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So wake up your ideas. Glory to God.
So he said, I'm not led by the Spirit of God and the sons of God. Right, correct. Do you understand me? Did you get that? So as many as are led, that word led is not as many as are listening to this. No. It's as many as are led. That word ago, as many as are brought forth, as are carried. And Paul is discussing new birth. So when he says as many as are led, he's talking about new birth. Genesis, he's discussing the new birth. So what Paul is saying is as many as are born again. That's what he's saying. As many as are born again. Meaning, let me put it like this. What Paul is saying is that to be born again is to be led by the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. Remember Colossians chapter 1? He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. Right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
Did you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember what we corrected that thing to be? What we corrected it to be? We said that verses 13 should start from verses 12c, right? Did you remember that? It should start from verses 12c where it said, in the light. In the light. It says, look at Colossians 1, 12. Colossians 1, 12 into 13. Look at what it says. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, so made us, who has qualified us to be partakers of his of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now say that word in the light doesn't look, tell them about the saints are already in the light. Are they saints in darkness? No. So that part is also ending in the saints. He has qualified us and made us what? Partakers. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Do you understand? You don't have saints in darkness. So the next verse will not be what? Verse 13. I mean, the next statement, in the light, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. Do you understand? And conveyed us into the kingdom of his son. So everything happened in the light. Do you understand? So that light is that conveying. Did you get that? That light, the same way the indwelling of the Spirit is that light. Do you understand that? So that indwelling is that conveying. Are you following that? It's not, don't go in here as well as I led by the Spirit. Don't have a train in your mind. Don't have a boss in your mind that when we have conveyed us, you are thinking of
a boat or a ship.
You are just, it's sclerocardia, unbelief.
Don't make you think like that.
You understand? So when Paul says he has conveyed us, don't think of a vessel, no. You understand? That's like in the light. That light. You understand? Not to be born again is to be in the light. Now that light is that conveyed. The same way that the Spirit of God is that light. You understand me? Are you following me? So the indwelling of the Spirit is that light. So the indwelling of the Spirit is that taking out of darkness. You understand? It's not like that. You know what happened to you is it happened the moment you believe you are saved. The moment you believe you are transcended. The moment you believe your parentage has changed, you are no longer a child of the devil, you are a child of God. So that moment a man believes the gospel, the indwelling, remember we said the indwelling did not take 1 millisecond. The moment you believe, that moment, split second, you believe. It's not when you stand up and say, our Father accept you, all those, leave all those rudiments and theory. All those things are, you know that? All those things are, some people get a whole lot of things wrong. It is not say, okay, now, do you want to be born again? Oh, yeah, say after me. I said, no. Believe. Now, when what happened to, to Colenius is that, did they react any verse? No. The moment Colenius believed, Peter was still explaining. Peter was still giving, he was still giving explanation. But the moment Colenius believed, you understand me? Now, listen, Colenius was a good man. I don't want to talk about angels today, so let's not go into angels. Understand me? So, Colenius was a good guy, but he was not saved. So, an angel visited him. An angel cannot convey the message. Do you understand me? So, now, listen, Peter was explaining. As Peter was yet talking, Peter said the Holy Ghost fell. Maybe Peter too was surprised. Why was there not the Holy Ghost fell? Meaning, as he was not talking, as he was yet talking, they started talking. Do you understand? They started tonguing. Do you understand? So there was no time for I say after me, come outside, stand on the altar, say, Father. No. Once a man believes, every other thing you are doing is called tradition, culture. Do you understand? You want to give your life, you want to receive Christ as a Lord and Father, and be on your feet. Those things are jambus. Come outside to the altar. No! As you are here teaching, the man believes he's saved. You understand? He's saved. Are you hearing me?
Hallelujah.
John 1:12. As many as received it, to them he gave the power to become the child of God, even to those that believe. So that word believe is the center point. Do you understand me? It's the center point of our salvation. Believe. Do you understand? Faith. Okay. How did I even get here? Okay, Colossians 1. So that point you believe. That point you believe. You remember I said something that was 2 weeks ago last week. I said that point of salvation, everything happened the same second. Do you understand? That moment you believe, you receive the Spirit. That thing to receive is righteousness. Do you understand? That is holiness. That is sanctification. Do you know that? That is the forgiveness of sin. That's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Everything happened that second. But you know, we are not explaining it this, that. Do you understand? We are not, now that singular experience that happened to us is what we are explaining. Do you understand? But it's a singular experience. I cannot teach you righteousness after what I'm teaching you now. Do you understand me? It happened that same period. That's not period, but that same time. That is that indwelling. Do you understand me? That is indwelling. That indwelling is life. That indwelling is what we call Zoe. Do you understand me? And you're Zoe. Do you understand me? Eternal life. Are you following me? Aha. So that singular experience is what we are now explaining. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Aha. But it is all from that singular experience. It's all from that singular experience. So that indwelling is the light. And it is that indwelling that is the transport. That indwelling is that conveying. Do you understand me? It's not that you go up and get somebody not carrying your hand. Oh yeah, let's go. We have left darkness. No. Do you understand? Aha.
Glory to God.
So that's what Paul is explaining here. So when you now hear as many as are led, stop thinking about a carriage. No. As many as are led will now be what? The new birth. The indwelling. Do you understand? So that indwelling is the leading of the Spirit. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Glory to God.
So can we say a child of God is well led? Is he well led?
Uh-huh.
Glory to God. Okay. So led from where to where? Verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. What are they talking about? We are no longer in the flame of the Spirit, right? Right? So as long as I led of the Spirit, led from the flesh to the Spirit, right?
Uh-huh. Glory to God.
So the leading is to be is from the flesh to the Spirit. Right? And it's by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
It is called sonship. That means that they are the sons of God. It's called sonship. That leading is sonship. That indwelling is sonship. It's the heels. Heels. Now when that word heels is used, that word heels is not used for height. No. Is whatever that word heels is used, is used together. We'll have it when we're discussing the songs. I gave us that the sons of God, right? The sons of adoption or something like that. Along that topic, we are discussing that too in the first half. So we have a lot to do that as a teaching concerning, as a teaching pneumaticals. So all these teachings will be coming in concerning. Hallelujah. All the first half of the year of the test fire. So the test fire is coming. See, you see us. So the test fire is coming from the teaching of the word. You are bombarded with the word. So you are going to walk in the light of it. We are walking in the light of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Wow. So now when that word sonship is used, that word sonship, or when that word heos is used, it's always used in relation with an inheritance. We will discover that there's an inheritance that has been discussed around it. And so it's called sonship with inheritance. We'll discuss that very sons of adoption. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So me being the son of God is because I'm led in the Spirit. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So me being the son of God. Did you understand that? Now, remember what we've been saying. Now, me being the son of God is because I'm led in the Spirit. Did you get that?
Yeah.
So that's why I can now say, I'm the son of God because I'm led in the Spirit. I want to get that. You see where I'm taking my time to say this thing? Because as we continue talking about pneumaticals, we will not end up this year, we will not end up 30 years. Because we keep talking about it. Do you understand? But is what we are doing this year is like a foundation. You understand me? And we'll be visiting pneumaticals maybe once every 2 or 3 years. We just visit that topic, pneumaticals. You understand me? Pneumaticals. This series one. You understand? We just talk about pneumaticals in the Spirit. You understand me? So this is just like an introduction. So we all have an overview of what we'll be discussing in years and years to come. Years and years to come, centuries to come. We'll keep talking about it. 30 years. Keep talking about it. Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Aha. So we are all ready.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, me being the Son of God is because I'm led in the Spirit from the flesh. I'm led. Tell us how. Rachel goes, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know the leading of the Spirit. I don't know. Where will God lead me? No, the very point of being born again is the leading. You know what I mean? So the leading starts from where you are born again. When a man receives the gospel, he's led. Did you get that? He's led. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said, he who
Believes in me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That is leading. That word light is the word fools. That is the, you know, that is used for, you know. You know, that word light, it means like a floodlight. Maybe the child of God is well led. Will not walk in darkness. We will not walk in confusion.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand me? So the child of God is well led. The child of God has direction. Where? In the spirit. Do you understand me? So where is the spirit? In us. Do you get that? So the child of God does not have direction issue. No. Do you get that? The child of God doesn't have direction issue because the child of God is well directed. Do you understand me?
No one will discuss the leading of the spirit too. It's just part of pneumaticus.
Not of pneumaticus. Hallelujah. Well, look at all these things.
So can you now see that this topic pneumaticus is going to take like 2 weeks?
Are you seeing where it's going?
Can you see how I'm going to?
You have seen it, right?
A lot of things need to be discussed on that.
A lot.
So we're going to go. I was discussing with someone today, and there is a long haul. It's a long one.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
A lot of things just have to be taught, but we're just going to look at, you know what we're going to do this year? We're just going to look at it all around. We're just going to look at it to lay the foundation. Then we'll continue from years to come. Let's keep talking.
Hallelujah. So there's no, pastor has put a full stop.
Yeah, done now. 90 years back.
We still keep talking about this.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Where are we? Okay, we are here. So we said me being the Son of God is because I'm led in the spirit from the flesh, right?
Yeah.
So the indwelling is the leading. Because I don't know as a child of God, I don't have the leading of God. Keep quiet, you don't know the scriptures. The indwelling is the leading. That indwelling is that light. Jesus has said in John 8 that you will not walk in darkness. Darkness is the word scotia, means to have, to lack direction. Do you understand me? So when a man is born again, he has direction. Do you understand? Remember, I knew this, I stopped saying I'm confused. I don't think I've said that in a long time. I am not confused. I stopped saying that word, I'm confused. How? I don't know what to do, I'm just confused. So some believers just say things that are not consistent with their nature. You know what your nature is. Hallelujah.
Resolve.
And you say things that are consistent with your nature.
Yes, sir.
Tell us something. What's consistent with your nature? I'm well directed. You know, that point where it looks as if you don't know what to do again. Decision, you don't know what to do, just I'm well directed. Yes, sir. Just say it to yourself, I'm well directed. I don't walk in confusion. I know who I am, I'm well directed. Hallelujah, I'm well led. I'm well led. Do you understand that?
Yes,
I'm well led. You know, you can just say to yourself, nah, I'm well led.
I'm well led.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm well led.
I'm well led.
Well led.
Well led.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Let's begin to round up on this. Okay. So what Paul teaches in the book of Romans is that to be born again is to be led by the Spirit of God from the flesh. That's what Paul is teaching here. Look at that, Romans 8. That's what Paul is teaching here. Romans 8. He said, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Abba, hallelujah. Glory to God. Said the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. That is the word, joint witness. Hallelujah. Joint witness. The Spirit of Christ itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. So much real. A joint witness. Bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Look at verse 17. And if children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If indeed we suffer with him, we'll suffer with him. Hallelujah. That is identification, you know. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Identification, that is baptism. Romans chapter 6. If indeed we suffer with him. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, what Paul is telling us is that, hey, we are well led. We are well led by the Spirit from the flesh. That is Paul's teaching in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, he said we are well led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Look at, let's go to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, let's see something. No, we are looking at how Paul explained the word Spirit. There's something I would have wanted us to do. We'll do it next week, Saturday. What I would have wanted us to do is to look at spirituals, or look at that message, look at spiritual, and see how he now explains, before he uses the word, or why he's using the word spiritual, what does this say concerning the spirit around? You will not see. Do you understand? So you now bring that word spiritual and say, ah, okay. Do you understand? You will not see how. Do you understand that? This is why this is like this. So this is Paul's explanation of the word spirit. Is it different from what Jesus had explained?
No.
No. Did you get that? Did you get that? It's not different. So we're going to also see what the other apostles wrote concerning the spirit. So that you also understand. They are all explaining the same thing, but you discover that Paul is more elaborate. Do you understand? Paul is more detailed. Peter only have 2 books. Paul have more than half. What will happen? Do you understand? Okay. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 2. It says, okay, all foolish Galatians, verse 1. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. He said, did you receive the Spirit? Now, okay, let's look at verse 3 first, then we'll come back. He said, are you so foolish?
You know, when Paul uses words like this, in the Bible, are you so foolish?
Okay, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. Hallelujah. Look at that verse 2. He says, this is what I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul has also said that to be born again is to receive the Spirit. Did you get that? Is to receive the Spirit. In Galatians 4 verse 6, you know, this is an explanation. Galatians 4 verse 6.
Maybe before GPLR changed, we are going to look at the book of Galatians. So what should just have that in mind? When we go to the book, we'll go and study it. And then we'll look at 1 Corinthians. We'll look at Corinth and Galatians together. Do you understand?
Okay. Let's go see. Verse 2. It says, this only I want to learn from you. Now, okay, I also opened Galatians 4 6, right?
Yeah.
He said, because you are sons. Did you see that? Because you are sons. What has happened? God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Can you relate this to Romans 8, verse 15? Did you get that? Did you get that? So it says, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit in your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. He said, therefore, you are no longer a slave but a son. And if son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying the same thing. He has set forth. That word to set forth means to put. That's what I mean.
Is the Greek word exapulito. I mean exapulito.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then verse 3 of chapter 3. And I say, are you so foolish? Haven't begun in the Spirit. Paul, let us see something again. Haven't begun in the Spirit. Haven't begun in the Spirit. What is Paul saying? He needs to be born again is to begin in the Spirit. already showing us. To be born again is to begin in the Spirit. Tell something. To be born again is to begin in the Spirit. Can you not see the fact that explaining new man outside the Christos is nonsense? Because he said to be born again is to believe, is to begin in the Spirit. So how can a believer, you know, when a believer starts telling you, I don't know how to walk in the Spirit, or let me not use that. I don't know how to. I don't think the Spirit of God has ever led me before. You just said this one doesn't know scriptures. Tell us that. Say, what is the Spirit of God? How can I? You know, there are these questions people usually ask, them, how do you hear the Spirit of God? It's just so funny. It's not funny to me now. But then I'll tell you, no, you know you're a child of God. You will speak to you. The Spirit of God speaks to you. You must know you can hear. Tell us that. And that is for the sheep hear the God. See, there's no child of God that is not well led. There's no child of God that does not know the leading of God. Tell us that. We are going to talk about that when we discuss the leading of God, how to know the leading. But there's no child of God that is not well led. That being born again is the leading. Tell us that is the leading. Did you get that?
Okay.
So very important. So verse 3. So to be born again is to begin in the Spirit. Galatians 5:23. He says we are in the Spirit. Galatians 5:23. Sorry. Verses 25. Galatians 5:25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now it is not if we live in the Spirit. If he said, use the word if we live in the Spirit, meaning there are some believers that don't live in the Spirit. No. What does it say? Because we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So that is the reason why we are talking of walking in salvation. Can you now see why we have to teach that tomorrow? There's an teach it into us, so walking in salvation. So walking in salvation just means walking in the Spirit. Did you get that? To be just walking in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Paul is not saying, try and live in the Spirit, brother. Try and live in the Spirit. You know you are born in the giant. No, Paul doesn't say that. Do you understand me? Paul doesn't say, pray again. You know you are born again. So you try and live in the Spirit. No, you will get that when the Spirit is not explained in Christ. You will get that when the Spirit is not explained as Christ in the resurrection. But when the Spirit is explained, when the Spirit is explained as Christ in the resurrection, that means that when a man is born again, he receives Christ, right? That is the Spirit. Did you get that? That is the Spirit. So the living of all, when you now talk about the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of Christ, what will you find in? You'll find it in the man that is born again, right? So the man that is born again has the Spirit of God. So you will say that one is in the Spirit. You remember the message? That is the reason why we have to teach the book of we have to teach the promised land. Remember the promised land?
Yeah.
Where is the promised land? Is that it? Is it a beauty?
Yeah.
Where is the promised land? Yes? Okay. The promised land is what? The Spirit. Right? Right? The indwelling, the Spirit. Now that is the promised land. Because if the promised land was to be a land, then why did they just, why is it that after, if the land filled with milk and honey was to be Canaan, why yet the Spirit still said in another place? Do you understand me? Do you understand me? The writer of Hebrews will quote that. So that means the promised land is not Canaan. The promised land is not Goshen. The promised land is the Spirit. Right? He said, tarry in the city of let me get that again. Luke 24:48. He says, good. I don't know if to call you people.
Sister Gift that sings song in my mind. Luke 24:48. Say, behold, I send the promise. That is verse 9. I send the promise. So there's that promise is spoken of after Cana. So that promise has in the spirit. So get that message. Listen to the message well. Listen to all the series on that message. So the promised land, the promise is the spirit. Christ in the resurrection. Did you get that? So when you begin to explain the spirit outside Christ in his resurrection, which will be found in the believer, you will be having faboom. You don't be teaching abstract things. You don't be different from somebody who is doing Hare Krishna. You will not be thinking about whether he's doing yes now, or that he's doing avatar mode. I said, I want to be in the spirit. It is no different. See, being in the spirit is not a realm. Being in the spirit is you.
Yes, sir.
Do you understand me? Being in the spirit is a man who is born again. You have to understand that faith as a fact undeniable about you. Do you understand me? Do you get that? Say, I'm in the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
I have the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
I did not
say I'm in the spirit.
I'm in the spirit.
You are in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So let's just round up like this. So the believer is born in the spirit, right? Or the believer is born again. Sorry, the believer has begun in the spirit and lives in the spirit. Right? The believer has begun in the spirit and lives in the spirit. You must know that. He has begun in the spirit and lives in the spirit. So therefore, he or she is not alien to the things of the spirit. Because that is where he lives, in the spirit. So a child of God is not alien to the things of the spirit. Remember pneumaticals? Things of the spirit? So when we now start discussing pneumaticals, you discover that these are things that are in my spirit. When did they get to your spirit? The new birth, right? Remember I said that new birth is a one-time forever experience.
Yeah.
That we are not taking time now to explain. So when we begin to discuss things in the spirit. You will not start seeing that where are all those things? They are all in. Do you understand me? They are in you. Did you get that?
Yes,
when did you receive them?
When you
believe. Do you understand that?
Uh-huh.
Do you understand me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you blessed? Okay, we'll continue from here next week, Saturday, during School of the World. We'll go a bit longer. There are some things we need to investigate very well again next week, Saturday. So come prepared. Hallelujah. So, have you learned something?